Morning. How are you guys doing this morning? All right, we're going to start with a new song this morning, and it's just talking about God's faithfulness and how he never changes. So that's something to sing about. So let's all stand and worship this morning. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this service, Lord. God, I pray that you would be glorified this morning. And Lord, I pray that this service of worship will be an offering to you, God, that would be acceptable and holy, God. And I pray that you would smile upon us, God, and that you would be delighted in us. It's in your Son's name, amen.
stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stay. Before my failure, he carried the cross for my shame. Your sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now stands. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation. Spirit alive in me, my life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. I want you to stand. I want you to raise your hands if you want to. Do what the Spirit leads you to do. Stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. Praise God.
Can be seated, but before you do, greet someone.
Well, I hope everyone has had a wonderful morning already. It's so good to see everybody. I was happy to wake up early this morning and see that the temperature was pretty warm, so we didn't have to worry about any ice this morning. We had a great first service. Looking forward to a good second service as well here this morning. In case you missed it, we had our first Wednesday service this past Wednesday. We're doing something a little different with our first Wednesday services this year. Each month, on the first Wednesday, we're going to meet and we're going to do something that will help you grow in your faith. This first Wednesday, this past week, we focused on what it means to read your Bible, to engage in studying your Bible. What does that look like? We gave a lot of practical ways you could read your Bible and help with that. We've got a few Bible reading plans over at the resource table if you want to pick one up. One takes you through the whole Bible. One just takes you through 100 of the most essential passages in the Bible to kind of give you a big overview, kind of get your feet wet and reading the Bible. I encourage you to get engaged in reading the Word. I know from my own personal life, that's the one thing that made the biggest difference is when I started reading my Bible. It really changed my life around. And we see that time and time again. When people start picking up their Bible, reading it, learning for themselves, man, it makes a huge difference in your faith. So I want to encourage you to do that. This morning when you came in, you did get a kind of a worship guide here, announcement sheet. Each week we give you one of these. It gives you a place to take notes about the sermon. It gives you some announcements. This is just kind of an overview of the announcements. If you want to find out all the activities, events, all that stuff, you can go online to our website, and it has some usually more than even what we put in, on the announcement sheet. A few things just to make you aware of. We do have youth tonight. That's 6th grade through 12th grade. I really want to encourage our teenagers to come out for this. We'll have a great year plan for youth, so lots of new things, lots of things coming up on the schedule we need to make you aware of for youth. So try to be here tonight if you can for that. We've got a men's conference coming up on Saturday, February 1st. We've got a Nicaragua mission trip coming up in June. So the information's in here. If you're even remotely interested in going on this, would you let us know? And we can kind of help you get the ball rolling for this, because there's passports and there's all the paperwork and just getting everything started. We want to make sure you get plenty of time to do that. So that's coming up. And also in 2 weeks, we're going to be sharing all the new life groups at Cornerstone. We've got a bunch of life groups coming up. So you can, in about 2 weeks, we probably have 8 to 10 new life groups starting. So we'll have a time for you to sign up for that. And life groups are a way here at Cornerstone where you can kind of get to know a few more people. You get to read scripture together, study together, laugh together, eat together. It's a way for you to get connected beyond what just happens here on Sunday morning. It really takes you from sitting in rows to sitting in a circle where you get to interact with some other people here at church. So I want to encourage you to be involved in a life group. And there's one listed here that's getting a little bit of an early start. The information is in here about it. The rest of them, you'll have all the info in 2 weeks. So that's all the announcements. There's probably more that I've forgotten, but this will kind of get us, gives you an overview of what's going on at Cornerstone. We're starting a new series this morning, and really it's about what's next. What's next, God? And that's the question I want us to be asking ourselves all morning, is what's next? God, just what's in store for this year? What's in store for my life? What's in store for this church? So with that said, would you guys join me in prayer as we bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for this time of worship, this powerful time where we can raise our arms to you. We can lift our voices, where we can praise you for who you are, for what you've done in our life. Lord, help us to leave the worries of the week behind and just come and worship here at this place this morning. Lord, we pray for our service, that you would use it to encourage us, to motivate us, to transform us from where we are now to where you want us to be. Lord, we thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lamb who was slain, holy, holy. who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
God this morning. I thank you that we're all gathered here together for the purpose of worshiping your name, God. I thank you for the message that Mike has this morning, and I thank you for how you've moved in the hearts of the people here throughout this past year. And I ask that you would soften our hearts to hear from you again, God, and that we would be challenged to follow you with our whole hearts, be challenged to share your love and your the story of the gospel with the people who need it, God, because they're everywhere. God, I ask that you just challenge us this morning. Call us to grow closer to you in every way, to submit to your ways, God, and that we would just acknowledge you as Lord of our lives. And it's in your Son's name that we pray.
Let now our hearts burn with a flame of fire consuming all for you.
Thank you, God, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And I ask that you'd be with Mike as he brings the message, and you guys may be seated.
So we're starting a new series this morning called Next. And the question that we're going to be asking over the next few weeks is just what it's shared on that video clip. What happens next? What happens next in our own lives? What happens next for our church? God, what do you want us to do next? And that's a question I hope that you guys ask yourself from time to time. God, okay, what does come next? Because life is a series of choices. It's a series of small steps of obedience that lead us to the path that God wants us to take. This weekend was kind of fun. We from time to time as a family, we get out the old home videos. And it is hilarious to get out the videos. We picked out one and watched as a family this week that was 9 years old. Okay? So at that time, my kid, Drew, was just a little baby. Luke was about 4, Emma was about 5, and I'll just tell you, we have laughed so much watching those old videos. There was a little clip, Luke was playing guitar, and he was just strumming a guitar, and he was making up a song about David and Goliath, which is a story I'm going to be sharing here in a little while. And he was singing, I thought about showing it to you, but Emma was dancing, and I think I know where Miley Cyrus found her inspiration. So I really couldn't show the video, so you just take my word on it. It was cute, but she was 5 at the time, and she was getting down. And we have just laughed so much watching those videos because it makes us remember things that we had forgotten and watching those videos. And here's the thing, though. At the same time, watching those videos, man, it made me think a little bit about how I'm living my life now. Am I still doing the same things to make the memories that we were making then? You see, when we look back, it kind of forces us to focus on what's important. It makes us look back and cherish those memories that we've made, but it also helps us to not be content with where we are now. And that's one thing I love about looking at old movies like that. But here's the thing, in our spiritual lives, sometimes we need to look back. We need to look back to see how God has moved and what he has done, because we tend to forget over time. We tend to lose sight of what's important. We tend to lose our focus. And so today, as a church, what I want to do, I want to kind of walk us back through the past year a little bit. And I want to talk about where we've been. Because I think we have to know where we've been if we want to understand where we're going. And so this morning, that's kind of what I want to do, to celebrate what God has done, to remember the blessings we've received here as a family. And you are a part of a family of God here. Even if you just attend, even if this is your first time ever here at Cornerstone, you've walked into a family of people who love God, who want to serve God, who want to make disciples, who want to live the life that God has intended for us. And so that's really what this morning is about, how to get from where we are to where God wants us to be. Why do you think God wants us to remember? That's a good question, isn't it? Why should we remember? Why do we need to look back? Why can't we just say, oh, forget the past, I'm moving forward? Why is it important to look back? I think for a few reasons. One of the things is we often forget what God has done. We forget the good things. And so we look, we forget the good things, and we see God's faithfulness when we look back, and we tend to forget that. But also looking back is a cautionary tale for us for the future. Throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, we see time and time again how God told his people to remember. And the book of Deuteronomy, there's just four passages right here I was looking at this week, and all of them are about remembering, looking back. This is Moses talking to the people. The first spot was in Deuteronomy 5 that I looked at this week, and it said this: "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So Moses is telling, remember, you used to be a slave. God brought you out. You're no longer where you used to be. Again, don't we need to hear that this morning? That you're no longer where you used to be. God has brought you from where you were to where you are now, and we can give him thanks because of that. And so we see Moses reminding the people, remember. Remember where you once were, and you're not there now. And we can keep going the next chapter, in chapter 6. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Again, a reminder, chapter 8. It says, "You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And so here's the cautionary side of things. Remember, you know, because when you got off the path from God, he's telling the Israelites, you spent 40 years wandering around in the desert. And so that was a humbling process. And for many of us here in this room, you look back at your past, and there's some humbling things in your past. There's some things in your past that you look back on and you think, man, I was really wandering around like a ship without a rudder because I got off the path that God intended for me. But we can look back and we can recognize that, and it will help us as we move forward. And chapter 9 says, "Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you've been rebellious against the Lord." So again, sometimes looking back, we see it. We see our own disobedience. And so looking back, when we remember, it makes us remember the good, but it also sometimes brings up the painful. And that can be a good thing, because it can remind us where we have come from. It can remind us of who we are and really our experiences that that God has used to bring us to where we are right now. So, you know, when we think about that, it's not just an Old Testament thing. It's throughout the New Testament as well. The Lord's Supper, which we'll be celebrating together today, was a time of remembrance, to remember what God has done. We can look at, looking back to the cross, we remember that God's incredible love for us. We remember his forgiveness. We remember his mercy. We remember his grace. And because of that, we extend those same things to others. So remembering is a powerful thing in the life of a Christian. And I want to just give you two quick ways this morning why remembering is important. When we remember God's faithfulness, it does a couple of things. The first thing it does, it allows us to trust Him in the present. It allows us to trust. And this is so important that we understand, we look back, we see God's faithfulness, and we can trust Him. I'll give you a story. If you got your Bibles, flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is the story I'll be sharing with you this morning out of the Scripture. And it's a passage that many of you are familiar with. It's a passage you learned very early as a child, the story of David and Goliath. And let me just give you kind of a background to the story here. The Israelites, they were at war with the Philistines. And they, King Saul, had the army together, and they were at kind of a standstill. Both sides had kind of settled in, and the Philistines, they were kind of a unique people. We read about Goliath, and we read a few interesting facts about him. This dude was big. He was over 9 feet tall, according to Scripture, 9 feet, 9 inches tall. His armor he had on weighed like over 125 pounds. His spear was like 15 pounds. I mean, this was a big dude. And you ask me, Mike, do you really think that, you know, when the Bible says somebody's like 9 feet tall, do you think? Yeah. I mean, right? I mean, the Guinness Book of World Records, the tallest guy in there is like 8 feet 11. That's not that much different. You know, and you think back at that time, this Goliath was big, okay? And he's out there, he's mocking the Israelite army. He's cursing God. He's making fun of them. You know, he's just out there having a big old time and making fun of them. And you got to understand now, in those times when you went to war, the army didn't provide you your food. Your family had to bring you food. And that's really what David's job was. David's brothers were there fighting, and David was left back home to be the shepherd. But he also was the runner that kind of brought them food and made sure they had everything they need. So he was running back and forth. And he shows up right at this crucial time of the battle, right when Goliath is out there running his mouth, and David's just standing there listening to him and saying, is anybody going to do something about this idiot? Right? I could hear him just saying that. It's like, this guy is running his mouth. I'm tired of it. Who's going to stand up to him? And that's where we pick up the story right here. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul was left speechless, and he finally said, okay, go and the Lord be with you. Here's Saul, the mighty king, and a little shepherd boy comes up and says, aren't you going to do something? And Saul just steps back, and he recognizes something pretty quick, though, that this boy is serious. And if you go on to read the story, you read a little more about what happens next, and you kind of know how the story ends, that David ends up killing Goliath. But this story teaches us one thing. There was no way that David would have stood up to the giant if he did not look back and remember how God had been faithful in his past. Here is a shepherd boy that really was kind of made fun of, kind of the run of the litter, so to speak. And he was discouraged, made fun of by his brothers. He was left home while they were fighting the war. And yet he shows up and he recognizes something. Throughout my life, as he looked back, God has been faithful. And when we look back on our life, I hope you can say the same thing. I hope you see points in your life where God was faithful even when you had no faith. And so when he looked back, he recognized, hey, I've killed a bear, I've killed a lion. That's what a shepherd does. They protect their flock, right? And so when the threat came, he took care of it. And so David, I mean, he's a little tougher than he looks here. And so we recognize pretty quick that David was serious about trusting God. because he could look back and he could see time and time again where God had been faithful. The second thing in this story is simply this. When we remember God's faithfulness from the past, it directs our path for the future. It directs our path for the future. This is important to know. David could have just said, somebody needs to do something. Who's going to stand up? He could have got up in front of the army and given a big speech and said, somebody needs to do something about that. And that's how a lot of times in the church things happen, right? Somebody stands up and says, oh, there's a problem. There's a problem there. Somebody needs to do something about it, which typically leads to the next response is, okay, why don't you do something about it, right? Have you ever heard that before? If not, I may have to try it on you. But David, instead of doing that, he stood up and said, okay, God has been faithful in the past. I'm going to trust him with my future. Saul's like, wait a minute here. If you're going to face him, you've got to have my armor. So he puts his armor on him. He gives him his sword. David can't even move. I mean, David, he's too small for it. And David's like, wait a minute. I know here's what I've had my whole time as a shepherd. All I needed was a sling. And with that sling, I could protect myself. I could protect the flock. And that's going to be all I need to take care of this uncircumcised Philistine. I love that he threw that little, he's got this cocky confidence coming out of him. Like all of a sudden he's like, God is with me. Ain't nobody going to stop me. I'm going to take care of some business here. And I mean, that's the picture we have of David right here. Everybody's discouraging him. Everybody's kind of holding him in the back. And he's saying, verse 36, I've killed the lion, the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. He can look back and he's saying, God is going to give me the path to take next. And so when he looked back, he didn't just look back and talk about it. He moved forward. And for us, as for believers, for the people of God, yes, we look back, but we can't stay in the past. We have got to come to the point where we move forward in faith, where we allow God to direct our path, where we allow God to take us to where he wants to take us. So we look back, we remember, we celebrate, we look back, but we trust God because he has been faithful, but then we move forward. And so my question for you today is, what do you need to remember? What do you need to remember? Maybe you look back in your life and, I've got to say, when y'all were singing and I was kind of standing in the back and looking out, in the first service I did the same thing, just kind of looking around. I see people worshiping and raising their hands and singing their heart out. And here's the thing that I know. From being a pastor here, as I stand back and watch people sing and worship, there are people here who have gone through incredible marriage difficulties. There are people here who have lost their job. There are people here who have gone through financial hardship. There are people here who have gone through cancer in the past year. And you just go down the list, and it's not like everybody's had a perfect year. But yet we're still here, and we're still praising God. We're still saying God is the one who sits on the throne and he is in control and he is still the Lord. No matter what circumstances I go through in my life, I can still trust him because he is faithful. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. God is good. And when I see people worshiping, I see people singing and lifting up their hands, and I think about what everybody's been through this past year. I don't know about you, but to me, that's encouraging. That to me, that helps us to look back and see what God has done. Some of us need to remember the promise we have from Jeremiah 29:11. It's a verse I learned very early on. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And I'm afraid so many times we lose hope. We think life is terrible and I'm going through all this stuff and it doesn't make sense. And we forget that God's plan for us is to give us a hope and a future. It may not be the way we would write it out. It may not be the script that we would write, but his plan is best. And sometimes when we remember, it allows us to trust him so we can move forward in faith. There's one thing that I have to acknowledge this because I think there's a lot of people who are sitting here today and you're thinking, my past really isn't all that great. There's not a lot I want to remember about it. But again, when we remember with the good, we remember the bad, it really does
help us. Romans 8:28, for God works out for good, all those things, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We need to remember that even though we've been through some rough things in our past, God can take them and use them for good. God can take those examples, and we may not understand how, but he can turn them around and use your past to bring about good. You may also need to understand that even though you've made some poor decisions in the past, here's the deal. Starting today, the decisions you make will determine your memories for tomorrow. The decisions you're making today, write this down. I mean, this is important. The decisions you're making today will determine your memories for tomorrow. When we were watching those home videos, this hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, my kids are growing up, and it seems like it's way too fast. And I start thinking, my daughter's almost 16. She's 15 and a half. Luke's 14, and Drew's 9. And I'm thinking, man, I just have a few more years left with them at home. And you know, I started looking at all those memories we were creating and all those fun times we had on those videos. And I start thinking about, okay, the decisions I'm making right now today are going to determine what those videos look like 10 years from now, right, when we go back and watch them. And I just, it makes you kind of wake up a little bit. It's kind of a reality shock here a little bit. Do you understand that those little decisions you make day by day, whether you trust God, whether you move forward, those are the things that will determine the path that you take in life. Are you going to trust God and follow him? Or are you going to try to do life your way on your terms? And again, I just think it's important that we can remember God's faithfulness from the past. It allows us to trust him. It allows him to direct our path for the future. You know, here's what I kind of want to do this morning. I want to take some time. And I just want to go back through the past year at Cornerstone. Last month, we had a ministry leaders meeting, and we were all sitting down, and I was talking to them. I'm like, okay, what are some of the big things that happened this year? And we just started sharing and talking, and it was amazing because I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. I mean, even in a year's time, I'm getting kind of old, I guess, because I'm getting forgetful. I started forgetting all these amazing things that had happened, and we started writing it down and looking at it, and it was so exciting. And so what I wanted to do this morning, just to share some of those things with you here this morning. And so I'm just kind of going to walk through some things, not to pat ourselves on the back, but to pat God on the back a little bit and say, God has been faithful, God has been good, and God has done some amazing things here this year. The first slide is simply about our baptisms. This year, we saw 14 people baptized. Since the beginning of Cornerstone, we have seen over 110 people baptized. Those are not just numbers. Those are lives that have been changed. Those are people who are standing up and saying, I'm not ashamed of being a believer. I'm going to live my life for Christ. And so every time somebody is baptized, whether it's a child or adult, we celebrate the fact because it's new life in Christ. So this year we saw 14 baptisms. That's awesome, guys. That's awesome. That just shows that we're reaching people for Christ. The next thing I want to talk about is our coat closet. We have a clothing closet downstairs, and we open it up about every quarter, and we do community giveaways for clothing. And, man, this year we've done several. We did a big winter coat drive, and we just saw a lot of people minister to here in this community. And I don't have to just tell you, I hope you realize it, but we live in a community full of people in need. People that are hurting, people who are struggling. At first service this morning, we had a couple that was here that was really, they were struggling. They didn't have anywhere to stay. We have homeless people here in our city. I hope you realize that the more we can reach out and help people who are hurting and share the love of Christ with them, man, that's what we're called to do. Another thing we started this year was our community meals. So on the last Wednesday night of each month, we've been hosting a community meal. And what we do, we just open up at the church and invite people for a free meal, and we get to know our neighbors. And we have seen over, I think the Thanksgiving meal, there were over 200 people that came through. Man, we have had just consistently every month just a packed house here, people coming for meals, the people that are hungry. So it enables us to kind of get to know them. It enables us an opportunity to serve. And we did special meals for Thanksgiving and Christmas, which was great this year. We took a group of over 20 men this year to Wildfire, the conference at Liberty, and it was awesome to see the growth that took place and to see the results from that. We did a water walk. We did a water Sunday here where we raised money for Water Missions International to provide clean water around the world. Lots of people involved. We actually took buckets and walked from the church down to the creek and carried it back just to show what it's like around the world for people having to go and get water every day. We raised over $3,500 for clean water. We did a special prom dress outreach to say yes to the dress. We did that again. Again, another way to reach out into community and provide provide just some pampering to some young ladies to let them know that people, that God loves them and God cares about them, and provide dresses that they may not otherwise be able to afford. We did a special worship night this year. We brought together three churches and rented out the Rex Theater and did an incredible night of worship. And we want to do this again. So we're already making plans and trying to figure out when the next time we can do this and even expand it. But just a great night of worship and coming together with people from other churches. When the tornado struck Oklahoma and Texas, we had several people that just had a burden and wanted to do something about it. So we had Mike and Charles and I don't know who all else in the fire department. They started organizing things. And the next thing I know, we had radio announcements. We had God's pit crew involved, the fire department. We had a tractor and trailer in front of Walmart. And we filled an entire tractor trailer full of supplies in one day to take to Oklahoma through your generosity and support. I mean, just a matter of days to pull something like that together was incredible. To provide relief for those in need. We took a mission team to Nicaragua. I mean, I'm moving through these fast because there's just so many things that took place this past year. And you can see pictures of us in one of the villages playing with the kids on the right. You can see the whole mission team on the upper left. And the lower left is us working on the farm there. We did pastor training. We fed villages. We did all sorts of neat stuff all week long. But just ministering to people who were in extreme abject poverty. It was just a great week of being able to serve and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We did Praising in the Park again this year, which is a big community-wide Bible school for kids. It's probably the fifth year we've done it. I'm not sure exactly. But we've organized and got together a bunch of churches. The lower right hand is just a picture on the last night after we had cleaned up. These are everybody was hanging around to help clean up. Just to see how many people from our church and other churches that came together to do this. You can see the picture of the skateboarder there doing some tricks. And the kids, the teenagers helping lead. And they did a great job. But all week, we just had an incredible turnout. Over 200 kids every night. To hear and learn about Jesus. And it's just a great, great week. We had some information about our youth. Week to week, our youth ministry kind of gets lost sometimes in the shuffle. You don't hear or see a lot about it. But that's a Sunday night youth meeting. Jennifer's up there teaching. And you can see, I mean, we pack out the community room with youth meetings. And it's got a lot of great teenagers here at this church. A lot of great things happening. So it's just awesome to see that. We took them to a camp, a summer camp this year as well, which was the older ones. We took some to. It was just a great, great week. We plan to take a bunch more this year to a summer camp. So we just look at all these things that are going on. Lots of great things. The next slide's the 4th of July parade. Something as simple as the 4th of July parade. We had a group of people say, why don't we do something and why don't we take some water bottles and just give out free water to everybody up and down the street. So we had wagons and people carrying fresh free water and, you know, handing out water on a hot day to people watching the parade. So just ways like that to introduce ourselves to the community and to serve the community. The next one is a picture of the Follow Me simulcast where we came together and watched David Platt teach about the persecuted church around the world and what it means to truly follow him and follow God. And that kind of springboarded us into our Follow Me series that we did here at church with life groups. And we saw a lot of growth and a lot of good questions. And from my Sunday morning series to our life groups to this simulcast, man, it was really neat seeing how God used all that. We Another thing we did is we roofed a local house for a person in need. Our benevolence team came to us and said, there's a person in need here in the community. They're unable to do anything. They're sick and they're not really, their roof is caving in, falling in. They need help. There's no government agencies, anything that can do anything about this. So we had a group of people here in the church that organized this, that got all the help, that provided all the supplies, that did everything. And we cleaned the house. We cleaned the yard. We put a new roof on the house for a person that just needed help. And when you see people in our church recognize a need like that and respond to it, man, that's exciting to see this person that needed help and had nowhere to turn. And the church stepped up to be the church. That's awesome. We collected buckets and cleaning supplies for people whose homes had been flooded here around, just in our own community, just right down on the bottom here. We collected a lot of cleaning supplies for that. We, the Halloween Street Festival, I don't know how many of y'all helped with this, but that was a bunch of people. It's crowded. Crazy how many kids came through. We gave out tons and tons of candy. We played games. Our theme was Duck Dynasty. So we had fun with that. And we just had a blast. And you can see we got to share a lot about the church and give out a lot of information about the church. And a big part of Cornerstone, we want the community to know that we're here. We did shoebox packing with Samaritan's Purse. We took over 100 shoeboxes we collected. And then we had over 50 people go to one of the packing facilities and actually pack the shoeboxes that were sent off around the world. And this is the youth that went. We took one group that was just all teenagers, and we served. So it was just really neat to see that. And then finally, Christmas at Cornerstone. Our Christmas service, December 22nd, we had over 380 people in attendance that morning, and over $25,000 was given to the Hope House for our community Christmas offering. That's awesome. Just to see God at work. And I don't share all this to pat ourselves on the back. I share this so we can stand back and say, wow, God did all that through us. And what happened is, in each of these cases, it's not like we were sitting in a planning meeting and said, we need to do this. No, what happened is somebody got a burden. Somebody got a burden and said, okay, I see a need. Let's do something about it. And as a church, we were able to come along beside them and make it a reality. And so my question for you as people, as our family here at Cornerstone, is what's next? What's next? Who's going to step up and lead? Who's going to step up and see a need? Who is going to step up and make it happen? Who is going to step up and be the hands and feet of Jesus this year? What's next? That's a question we have to keep asking ourselves. Are we going to trust God? Are we going to look back and say, he's been faithful time and time again? He can direct my path for the future. Or are we going to step back and say, somebody else will do it? I see the need, but I want somebody else. No, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to really make a difference. One of the things that I've shared in the past is that churches over time, if we're not careful, there's this gravitational pull to turn inward, where we just become focused about activities and programs and things that benefit ourselves, and we kind of lose sight of the mission that Jesus left us here to do. And so what we do when we serve others, when we get out of the four walls of the church and we meet needs, it allows us to share the love of Christ. It allows us to share the gospel, but it also enables us to understand that we still have a mission and we are not done yet. And so when we remember, that's what it does. It allows us to see God has been faithful. It kind of reorients us to stay on the path that God has chosen for us. I was thinking of this week, and after First Wednesday, at every First Wednesday service, we celebrate communion. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. And I started thinking, one of the best things we could do as the family of God this year, as we start a new year, is to celebrate the Lord's Supper together on a Sunday morning. Because what the Lord's Supper does, it reminds us, it helps us to look back and remember what Jesus has done. 1 Corinthians 11, it kind of gives us an overview. And this is what it says. It says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you, do this in remembrance of me. In other words, you remember me. You remember my body was broken when you do this. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So what the Lord's Supper does, it's a time. It's not just a ritual we do. What it is, it's a celebration. It enables us to look inwardly. That's the first thing we do. We look inside of ourselves. If you keep reading in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord and eats, he eats and drinks judgment on himself. So what it says here is that we don't just do this. It's not just something we do without thinking about what we're doing. We take the time to examine ourselves, to look inwardly, to confess sin that is lurking in our hearts, that we need to kind of get ourselves focused on the meaning of what Christ did for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we look within. It also helps us to look back. Part of the Lord's Supper, and part of the week that were happening, part of the background, is that Jesus sat down with his disciples for a Passover meal. And the Passover meal was a time where they could look back and remember what God had done. And you see this in Exodus. It talks about this going way back in the Old Testament. In Exodus 12, it says, and when the children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then you tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. So what he's telling them is, okay, when you sit down to take this meal, it's more than just having a meal. You're going back and you're remembering, again, God's faithfulness in your past. And that was the context when Jesus sat down, reclined with his disciples and sharing this Last Supper with him. They were celebrating the Passover meal. They were remembering God's faithfulness. And then Jesus, of course, he broke out the bread and the juice and the wine, and he used that. And he said, okay, when I'm gone, you're going to continue to do this. And it's going to cause you to look back and remember the time that you had with me, to remember my love for you. And then finally, it does help us to look ahead. It helps us to look forward to the future. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, we read, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So it's reminding us we have a mission, that we're proclaiming the Lord's death. It's reminding us that we look forward to a grand future for all of eternity with God. But in the meantime, we're here. We have a mission, and we're not done yet. So this morning, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to take just a minute for us to pray. I'm just want to give you a time to just to reflect and to think and to examine yourselves, as the scriptures say, before we take communion. And now, if you are here, even if it's your first time, you're welcome to take communion with us. If you are a believer in Christ, that's what unites us. And so we invite you to join with us this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Would you bow your heads right now? And right now, I just want to give you a time to quietly, to reflect, to examine yourself, to allow the Holy Spirit to show you any sin in your life, to ask Jesus for forgiveness, just to thank God for what he has done. Let's pray. God, in the silence this morning, as we clear our hearts, we clear our minds before you, help us just to reflect on your incredible love for us. As I said earlier, that while we were sinners, that you died for us, that God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross to take our punishment, to take our shame. His body was broken for us. His blood was poured out so that we could be forgiven. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Lord, as we prepare ourselves to take this Lord's Supper, will you help us to examine ourselves? Will you help us to realize the significance of what we are doing, that we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, until Jesus returns, that we are left here with a mission, with a plan, with a purpose. As a church, Lord, that we are going to continue serving those in need, that we're going to continue to show the love of Christ to those around us and to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you this morning. We praise you. It's in the name of Jesus we all pray. Amen. So this morning, here's what we're going to do. In just a second, I'll ask everybody to stand to come from the center out and receive the bread and the juice and to return to your seats, and then we'll celebrate that together. But as you come, I've got a video that will play, and then we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together. So you can stand up now and come forward and receive the elements. The bread represents the body of Christ, and we remember how his body was broken for our sins. In Matthew 26, it says, "While the disciples were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.'" The juice represents the blood of Christ, the new covenant, the new promise that we can be free from all sin through Christ's shed blood for us. Matthew 26:27, we read, "Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin.'" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning that we can celebrate the Lord's Supper, that we can celebrate your faithfulness to us. Lord, I believe that you have brought each person here in this room together for a reason. It's no accident. It's no coincidence. You have brought us together with our talents and our gifts and our abilities. You have brought us here so that we can serve you as we serve others. Lord, help us not to fall into the trap of thinking that someone else will do it. Help us not to fall into the trap of thinking that God, that you can't use us. You chose a simple shepherd boy to be king, to defeat Goliath. And we see how you used David in mighty ways. And I ask that you would use us, Lord, and help us to be obedient in the little choices day by day, each decisions that we make, Lord, help us to put you first, and we know that you'll direct our paths. Lord, we thank you this morning, this service that we can celebrate you, this service that we can lift up your name, and this service that we can come together as believers in Christ and look forward to your return. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. So my question, Cornerstone, what's next? The next chapter is waiting to be written. So who's going to step up and take part in the story? This morning, as always, there's a response card, a communication card, and a seat back. If you have any commitment that you need to make, any prayer requests you need to make us aware of, you can let us know through that, and you can drop those in the offering box. As always, I'll be over to the side if you need to pray, if you've got any questions, just need to talk. But let's just stand up. Let's worship God this morning.
Forever.
your plans are for your glory. Yes, we can know you are good. Yes, we can know. Have a great week. Good Christmas.